John chapter 21, last chapter of the Gospel of John. Our Lord dealing with Peter specifically. And in verse number 21, Peter seeing him, that is, he's speaking of John there, John the Apostle, to Jesus, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so our brother has been written about. We have much in the scripture about him and even epistles that he has written. We want to take a look at his life and learn more about the power of our Lord, the blessing of our Lord, the help of our Lord by looking at our brother's life. We don't need to be critical of him. We need to learn from his mistakes that we not make them ourselves, learn from his errors that we not make those errors and sin against our Lord in that way. We certainly don't need to run him down. We don't need to think that we would have done different, because probably we wouldn't have done different. Yeah, I think if we're honest, maybe honest in our lives, we in Brother Peter's life, we see even a reflection of ourself at times, and in different ways. Some of us having problems with some things that the others of us don't, and the others that have a problem with something else. All right, you know, we all have the things that we deal with, and we need to watch and learn from what Peter heard and what he saw. And then what he did, and whether that was action or what he said. The account of Peter's life in the scriptures is a testimony to us that there is help and hope for us. And so I find that as a great comfort and blessing. You know, our Lord didn't quit Peter, did he? Our Lord won't quit us either. You're saved, you're a child of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you. He's not going to quit you. He's not going to quit you in any way. And there's nothing that can peel you out of his hand. Nothing. And so, and even when we just don't get it, our Lord is long-suffering with us. We'll see this man changed by our Lord from one of John the Baptist's disciples to an apostle, and a struggling disciple of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, to a converted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that as we consider in these passages. We've looked here about how Peter first met the Lord, and then how the Lord caught up with him and his brother and James and John there in Galilee. There was a gap there, and I just think about what Peter was thinking about his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ as it came time. And if I understand it right, most likely at the time of Passover, possibly he went there. You know, the males in Israel were to present themselves a few times before the Lord every year. And of course, some had gotten away from that. Peter may have been raised by his father or took it to heart to obey the Lord in that. You know, I think at Passover and Feast of Tabernacles and at some other time, they were to present themselves before the Lord. And so he was there and he heard the preaching of John and then met the Lord and then went home. And then the Lord Jesus showed up again, right, and called him. Last time we took a look about Peter's part in the public audience and the witness of the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, and then the private audience of the healing of Jairus' daughter. I got some things. I didn't review my notes well and got out of order this that we're going to consider this afternoon. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we just want to slow down and consider about this. And, you know, as best we can from this distance, and of course the Scripture is here and it's alive, and our Lord, the Spirit of God is here to teach us and help us. You know, we want to put ourselves in Peter's shoes. Peter, when the Lord told him, pardon me, and Andrew and James and John to follow him, he'd make them fishers of men. Peter takes the Lord home and he heals his mother-in-law, as we've taken a look at, which is, you know, we see that mentioned here in Matthew chapter 8. And then in just not too many passages from this, and remember, this study too is going to give us an idea how to take the Gospels and how to see them in an order, more in a chronological order. Now, I will tell you this. If you try to take the Gospels and put them in exact chronological order, you're going to find yourself with some challenges, okay? But it's fun to try. Okay, you'll have those challenges, but they'll be worth it. And so it's not essential that we have it in every whit, but it is good to do. Okay, it is good to do. And we'll see from this that there's some milestones in the Gospels that help us time them up. So we see here that we'll read this in Matthew 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, this is a fisherman from Galilee, and he's been given some ability, along with the other brethren there, and even don't see that Judas is excluded from that. When we take a look at Judas all the way down at the end of the Lord's ministry there in the upper room, none of the apostles thought that there was nothing about it that they thought that Judas was the one that would betray. So it wasn't a thing like, when we were over there the other day back a few months ago and we were there sent out by the Lord, did you notice that Judas didn't heal anybody? There wasn't any of that that caused them any doubt. He says he can't power against unclean spirits, cast them out, heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, the first Simon. And our brother is listed first. I don't think that's by mistake. He is a leader amongst them. But you know what? In and of itself may not necessarily be qualified to be the leader. But the Lord's going to prepare him. And he's going to be that. And of course, there's not to be a hierarchy. But there is that inner circle that the Lord has. It just is that way. I mean, it can't be denied. But it's not that Simon was any more or any less than any other apostle. Nevertheless, he's listed first. Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother. Remember how the Lord said, he gave him the name of Cephas. He gave him that name with that authority. He said, you'll be called Cephas. It goes on to say here, the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Well, you turn over here to Mark chapter 3. Let's take a look over here too. Some other things are mentioned here that we want to see. In chapter 3 of Mark, in verse number 13, and he, that is Jesus, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. So there were those that were there beside the 12. It just wasn't the 12. There was a group, and I believe that that was the Lord's church. It was just simply those that he had called to follow him, those that had been baptized. We see that in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, where the Lord is baptizing more disciples than John, although the Lord Jesus Christ himself is not baptizing. And that time is before the Lord appoints the 12 apostles. I think we can find that and see that as we compare the Gospels. Called to him whom he would, and they came to him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Verse 15, and have power to heal sicknesses, cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, although their daddy's name is not doesn't have anything to do. Their daddy's name is, memory serves me correct, their daddy's name, Zebedee, is the meaning of his name is my gift. Okay, so I think he was kind of, I think he's kind of picking at him a little bit. You know, you guys are loudmouthed. You know that? You guys are loud. But see, the Lord can take a loudmouth and take him and temper him and use him, can he? See that? I mean, sons of thunder. I think they would just talk before they thought. We have evidence about that. We'll see that with Brother Peter. And they'll just shoot their mouth off, or they'll have zeal well up within them to think that this is what we ought to do. And the Lord knows them. You know, the Lord knows us, doesn't he? He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And, you know, there's no one better to work on us than our Lord, is there? No one better than to work on us, to temper us, to mold us. Isn't that what the Scripture says? To mold us and conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he names them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. Judas is always named last, isn't he? He's got a reputation. All of us have a reputation, and we need to have a good reputation for the sake of our Lord. Let's take a look over here at Luke 6, and it's same account, but just maybe a few more things here that we want to catch. Here we see in verse number 12 of Luke chapter 6, and it came to pass in those days that he, that is Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He prayed, Lord Jesus, I mean, this is the Son of God, and yet, as has been brought out in recent times, he prayed. He prayed. In this case, he prayed all night. I'll be honest with you, I've never prayed all night. I've had things that have disturbed me and troubled me and that were very serious and grievous, and might pray on and off through a night as I would wake back up and try to go to sleep or couldn't sleep and that. Our Lord purposed and prayed all night before determining these fellows. The King of Glory, the Son of God, God the Son become a man, and God come in the flesh, prays about choosing his apostles. And it's a testimony to us that we certainly need to pray, don't we? I mean, we need to pray about decisions and things we have before us. And I hope you don't get weary about me encouraging you and admonishing you and us as a church to pray about things. You know, but this meeting that we look to have in the spring, that's our practice and our tradition, if you will. You know, we need to pray that we would do what our Lord would have us to do. It's good to have a meeting. There's not a thing wrong with having a meeting. But we need to seek the Lord's face concerning that, and that we might do and what he'd have us to do and have the brethren that he wants us to have, you know, that he might be glorified in it and that we might be obedient to him. And so he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, his church. Okay. And of them, he chose 12. So we see that there's more than 12 there. And those are those disciples that are following along with him, that have been baptized by the brethren that in them that the Lord has appointed. And from them, he has chosen 12. Some that are following along have been baptized by John the Baptist, like the apostles were. But then there are other disciples that are there. You know, in this group is who else? Who else do we know a name of somebody that's in this group? Maybe others, but isn't Matthias there? He's there, isn't he? Now, he's not chosen as an apostle right now, but does the Lord know that he'll be an apostle? Sure does. He knows that he's there. And so he called on him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he Also, he named apostles or messengers, ones that he would send. Simon, whom he also called Peter. And so there it is again, third time, third account that we read. Simon's listed first, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who is also the traitor. Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain. And so there was a sanctioning of them in this. You know, there's a sanctioning by the Lord. I think Brother Mark maybe mentioned it recently about, you know, see, the Lord sanctioned the tabernacle when the Spirit of God came down on. He sanctioned the temple. He sanctioned the church. And there on the day of Pentecost, you know, to the world, the church was at work during the day of the Lord's ministry. He was building her in that time. But he sanctions these brethren, too. Now, these are not men of letters. You understand what I mean? They're not college graduates. They may have not have been to school much past 10, 12 years old, if that, if at all. Can you put yourselves in Peter's shoes? The Lord Jesus visited him there as he was working on Galilee, and he did what he did, and they had that draw to fishes, as the Lord said. And Peter says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And the Lord says, "Fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men." And Peter follows him. And now he's not only a disciple of the Lord, but he's one of these 12 that the Lord said, "Peter, come up here with me. And I'm going to give you, along with your other brethren, the other 11, I'm going to give you power to do these things. I'm sending you. You're my nearer agent." What do you think Peter's thinking? Is Peter overwhelmed? Is Peter afraid? Is Peter without understanding? So, okay, you know. And can you imagine the first time Peter went out and laid hands on somebody and they were healed? It happened. There was a first time for all of it. When somebody that was diseased, they were healed. Or it was evidence that they encountered someone that was demon-possessed, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that demon was cast out. That demon left. And he was there, and he was doing that because his Lord gave him power to do it. I mean, it's hard for us to stretch and get that, but we can understand a little bit about the wow of that. And then there'd be the temptation then that, right, in the vernacular of the day, look at my bad self, right? Look at this. You know, I mean, to do things that you only read of a few prophets ever doing. And now you've been given more power that's been manifested by most of the prophets. It would be you. There would be a wow sense of that, and a why me sense of that, and is it really so sense of that, and then potentially a big head sense of that. But that's what our Lord did. And he came down, verse 17, with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples. So the remaining disciples are there, but the 12 are there near the Lord, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Whether it was the Lord Jesus healing them directly or healing them by the power that he had given to his apostles. Real easy for us to read over that stuff, isn't it? We just read over it real quick. You know, I mean, you've just healed somebody of leprosy, and you're not even a doctor. And then you lay down to go to sleep that night. You think you go to sleep real fast and real easy, or you think about that? Isn't that something? Isn't that something what our Lord did? And you know, he did this as part of his plan. It tells us in the scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures, that the apostles are the foundation of the church, that the church is built on, Jesus Christ being the chief of the corner, chief cornerstone, tells us that. And, you know, the Lord did that for the building of his church and for there to be leadership in his church after he ascended. And he appoints them such that they fill that office and fill that position that the Lord's given them while the Lord is still there with them to teach them. But one day, it's going to be them on earth as the physical leadership that's seen in the church under the leadership of the Lord. And you know what? Think about it. Think about how the Lord says that our fruit is to be fruit that's going to continue on. You know, our fruit is supposed to be fruit. We're to look to bear fruit unto our Lord that will continue on past us and past our lives. And I won't include you in. I lose sight of that. Consider the apostles' fruit. It's continued on to us today, hadn't it? To today. Isn't that something? That's the blessing and working of the Lord. You know, the Lord didn't build this out of bricks and mortar, but he built it out of people. So now we come over here and we'll look at this for this afternoon. Matthew 14. You've seen Jesus, your brother Peter. We've seen him heal our mother-in-law. Man, she jumped up and she started serving everybody, and she had that fever. Appointed of the Lord to be an apostle, and then given that power and those things to do, and then going over there and seeing the demoniac at Gadara and those demons, that legion cast out of him, and then come back over there and Jairus is saying, my 12-year-old daughter is about to die, and I have no hope of anybody, anyone else or anything else other than you. Come and touch her and she'll live. But she's going to die if you don't. And so then Peter's there, and he's been given this ability by the power by the Lord. He's been called into this. He's in the ministry. Every minister, I think, whose heart is right, has times to where they say, whoa, what have I got myself into? Or, whoa, what the Lord's called me into. You know, to be a minister of the Lord, you got to have faith in the Lord. And I'm not telling you I've got all faith in the Lord, but that's the only way a man can feel the calling of the Lord in this. We got to look to the Lord. I can't pastor you. I don't know how to pastor you. But you know what? My Lord's called me into it. You know what? He'll help me do it. He's helped me do it, and he'll help me do it. That's the same way with them. Now, you want me to fix your electric? I can fix your electric. The Lord's blessed me with that too. But dealing with the people things and the spiritual things and all that, I need the Lord's help. Peter, he saw that. He needed the Lord's help. And so he goes on and he sees about Jairus and then the woman with the issue of blood. And they said, who's touching you? And what do you mean, who's touching you? Everybody's touching you. The woman's healed. And then he goes there and he's called by the Lord, he and James and John, up into the room where the little girl lays dead. And she's the same age as the woman had the issue of blood. And he's there and he says, he's given us some power, but I sure don't know what he's going to do here. He heard the Lord say to Jairus, he said, after they brought word, he said, the Lord Jesus said to Jairus, he says, fear not, only believe. You reckon Peter is thinking there in that room with the little girl laying on the bed. The Lord doesn't say, Peter, step up there and bring her back to life. talking about wonder and fear at the awesome power but the Lord Jesus Christ, he never is running in circles and screaming and shouting. He's always cool and calm with everything, isn't he? And he raises that little girl from the dead. And so Peter's seen that and other things. And then we come here in chapter 14. You know the account. Verse 22, he constrains the disciples to get in the ship and go before him onto the other side of the lake. Matthew 14, 22. Lord Jesus sends the multitudes away. You all go home. He goes up to the mountain and pray. Verse 23. The ship is in the midst of the distance that they're going to, wherever it is they're rowing to, and it's being tossed with waves, and the wind was working against them, contrary to their verse 24. And in the fourth watch, and that's late, that's at night, maybe even coming on in the morning, verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, or as we would say in our day, a ghost. Not flesh and blown, not flesh and bone, but a manifestation of a person, but without substance. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Grown men, when do they go fishing? They go fishing at night. They're used to being on the water in the dark. That's nothing new for at least four of these fellas. And it says, when they saw the Lord walking, they cried out. Now, it's one thing to look at something and be afraid. It's another thing for a man to see something and then cry out like a girl. Right? We tease one another about that. But they cried out. They shrieked. Ah! I don't know what it is they did, but they cried out. They said, oh, look at that. What's that? And they were afraid. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You reckon they recognized his voice? They sure did. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. After all Peter has seen, is this a big deal? No big deal here. I mean, he's seen the Lord raise a little girl from the dead. There's no greater power than taking a body, a person that is dead, and bringing them back to life. And know for a surety, the little girl was dead. That's what the scripture says. Her heart had stopped beating. Her brain had stopped working. She was dead. Lord, if it's you, bid me. Ask me, tell me to come out there with you on the water. You know, it's the way it is with us, and we struggle with it, and we wrestle with it. We see the glory of our Lord, we see the power of our Lord, and you know, we have great zeal and confidence can well up in us, and that's good, that's a blessing. And we want to go, and we'll even step out to go. We know we got all confidence that our Lord can do the thing that He's bid us to do, or that we understand from Him that we should do for His sake. And if it be Thou, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto the water, come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. Come on, Peter. Come on. You want to walk on the water? Come on. Come on. He's seen all that he's seen, and he's experienced all that he's experienced. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, so he had to get over that rail. What do you think about that first step? stepping on the... He knew what it was to go over the edge of the ship. He'd done it many times, hadn't he? And he landed firm. What do you think was going through his mind then? It's working! He throws that other leg out of the ship, and he's walking on the water. Now, this wasn't a dream, or this just isn't a nice story to tell. This is so. This is true. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How far was Jesus away? I don't think he was right up beside the ship. He was in yelling distance. 30, 40 feet. I mean, the winds are blowing and the waves are up and down. And how was that to be walking on that water? He's walking out there to the Lord. Do you think Peter's enjoying himself? Has he ever seen anything like that before? He's grown up on the water. And sure enough, the Lord's got power for him to walk on the water. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He got to looking around, didn't he? And you know what? That's what happens to us when we get to looking around. When we start looking at circumstance, we start looking at situation, we start looking at the impossibilities, we start looking at the difficulties, we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus, then we lose our focus upon Him. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? Come. You think Jesus meant it? Yeah, He meant it. He told him, come, just like He had told him, come follow me. Right? Was there any lacking in the power of the Lord? No, not at all. But you and I, what we're troubled with, even being saved, we're troubled with having faith in our Lord. Because we're just so much covered up and understand more about this world. And it's hard for us to let go of our understanding about this world and for us to trust our Lord. But that's what we need. He said, come, and Peter was come out of the ship. He walked on the water to Jesus, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. We need to trust in our Lord. What is it Jesus told him? Be not afraid. Now, is Jesus saying, be not afraid if it suits you? No, he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus told him. It wasn't a suggestion, was it? That was rather a command. Just along the same line about your name's going to be Cephas. Not a suggestion. But we saw the wind boisterous, verse 30. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Well, we can get our eyes back on the Lord, can't we? And He does hear. And He is able to help us, even in our faithlessness towards Him. What if the Lord would have said, Peter, you've picked it, and you're looking around at the wind and the waves and stuff. Buddy, you've got it. Get back in the boat yourself. Is our Lord that way? You know, the world wants to accuse the God and the Lord Jesus of being hard and cruel and mean. And He's God. We were talking about it between services this morning. He's got to administer justice for sin. But He takes no pleasure in it. But He must do it. His righteousness demands it. His holiness demands it. And He will do it. He'll not back away from it. But our God is merciful, and He's gracious. And Peter got his eyes back on the Lord, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt me?" Was Peter walking on the water of himself? Can you and I do anything without our Lord? He's the vine and we're the branches, and without Him we can do nothing. But you know what? With Him and by Him we can do everything that He wants us to do. Now, the Lord Jesus won't call us to walk on water today. He called our brother to. But you know what? The Lord Jesus will call us to do things that we think are impossible in our day. And you know what? We need to obey Him and follow Him in it. And it's namely in our day in a calling of service, a calling to be a witness, a calling to share the gospel, a calling to do without, a calling to go to a place that we maybe wouldn't want to go, all different kinds of things. It won't be to walk on the water, but you know what? We'll need the same kind of faith. We'll need the same kind of ear to hear our Lord call. O thou of little faith. Praise the Lord that He didn't give up on our brother. Amen. There's help and hope for you and me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, faith in Him, faith in the Lord, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him. And that's what we need to do. That's what we've looked to do today, is worship our Lord. And you know what? Today's Sunday, and it is the day of worship. It is the day of holy convocation. It's the day that we're called to set aside for the Lord and meet together to worship Him, as we've looked to do, and I believe that we have. We've looked to. It's not perfect by any means, but we want it to be, don't we? And we seek to strive for it to be, and we look to worship Him. But don't forget to worship your Lord tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Worship Him. And you know what? Worshiping our Lord will help us in our faith towards Him. And they said, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Peter had great faith to ask, "Lord, if it be You, bid me to come," and to go when the Lord said, "Come." But great fear came about him when he was in the midst of the tempest. But he experienced great deliverance yet again by his Savior.